Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Other than the usual, like working on holiday stuff, the biggest downer of working right now currently is that I would be eating leftover lunch.
Yeah.
Like the day after Thanksgiving, sandwiches are just incredible. However you make them, we could debate about what should or shouldn't be on there. Mayo or cranberry or stuffing or gravy or no gravy or whatever. However you want to do it, though. I like to add a little cheese in there, actually, that wasn't part of the Thanksgiving meal.
It's not a bad deal.
However you get it done, the day after Thanksgiving leftover meal is so good.
You know what I thought about doing some of my leftover turkey this year?
What's that?
I make a pretty solid chicken pot pie.
Okay.
Just make a turkey pot pie.
I want to make, and it's a little ambitious because I'm not, you know, as we established well in the last segment where I admitted I cannot and will not fall victim to the spatchcock trend.
It's okay. We're sous-viding turkeys.
No, we're not sous-viding turkeys. I'm not going to sous-vide any turkey. I'm frying it, and I'm cool if you want to roast it or put it in the oven, but we're not doing anything else. So we're not spatchcocking. Actually, somebody's going to hit me up and be like, well, actually, spatchcocking is older than whatever.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Get out of here.
It's people. It's cooking nerds, cooking elitists, trying to separate themselves from the rest of us. Every time we catch up, they're trying to do something else. Mm-hmm. I learned how to fry a good turkey, and now they want to do something that I can't do. That's how it's going down. We were talking something else about Thanksgiving meal.
Leftovers, lunch, sandwiches.
Yes. I am trying to get ambitious.
Okay.
And I want to make like a turkey, either turkey noodle or turkey rice soup afterwards.
Okay.
And like, in my head, this involves taking the carcass and like putting it in boiling chicken broth. But I don't even know. Like, I have no idea what I'll be doing. But I just know I can picture what I want it to be at the end, and I feel like it involves boiling the carcass in chicken broth. But that may be an absolute terrible idea. We'll see how it starts. It is a huge day of rivalries, huge weekend of rivalries, really, including several today that affect us here locally, nationally, and even internationally. There is but one way to break down some of these rivalries, and that is with Minute Takes. Let's go from the bottom up on these, and we take 30 seconds each, right? We combine for a minute on these.
Yeah,
all right. Who's going first on the first one, Dennis?
You
Cox?
Take it, sir.
Okay. Notre Dame, USC. I guess you got to pull for the ACC here. No, I got the one of the things that's holding Clemson back is their loss to Notre Dame seemed to look bad, but Notre Dame, much like Florida State, is surging here late, so I think you want Florida State to continue to do as well as possible. If they can put a beat down on Florida, that'd be great. And if Notre Dame could put a beat down on USC, that would definitely help Clemson twofold, be a good win for Clemson, and it would bump USC back out. So let's go Notre Dame. Let's go ACC.
I'm with you on that 100%. Also, knocks USC out, which, again, would help one-loss Clemson.
Yes.
Just hope LSU also loses at some point because the committee seems to love them.
I don't know why they love LSU. And what's his name? Lincoln Riley. I like him. He's got the former ECU offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't need to see him going to his college football playoff in his first year at USC.
No, I don't
okay?
need to see that.
You got to earn it a little bit. So, there we go.
But, yeah, hashtag go ACC.
Let's go.
All right, Michigan-Ohio State, loser leaves town match. That's basically what this is because both teams are in the top four right now. One's going to get knocked off. They're not going to go to their conference championship. And the way the committee loves LSU, and we got these other one-loss potential conference champions, potentially USC, potentially Clemson, loser leaves town match. Get out of here. Which, by the way, hope it's Jim Harbaugh because I think he stinks.
I agree with you that I do want Michigan to be the loser. And I agree with you that it's a loser leave town match if Michigan loses. But I don't know. Ohio State, they're not quite Alabama, but they do have that you know, national appeal, that big draw, and like that, like something like a half a million people graduate from Ohio State every year. So like 15% of the American population is actually Ohio State graduates.
That's true.
So the committee loves them. They'll find a way for them to just have one loss, not play in their conference championship game, and then be like, well, I still think they're a really good team. Let's get Ohio State in the college football playoff. So might as well go ahead and pull for Ohio State and knock Michigan out and try and get Clemson in there. Next up, Panthers versus Broncos. This is a big matchup for me personally. That's all that matters because I own both of these teams on defense. These are actually two really good NFL defenses that have never been helped out by their offenses. Now, every now and then they can still have a great game on defense alone. They've been scoring touchdowns. I saw a stat. It was almost similar to the – remember the Matt Rhule stat where he was like 1-30 in games where the other team scored more than 17 points or something like that?
Yeah, they
never
won.
It was something ridiculous where it was like, kudos that you had so many games where you held a team under 17, but it's the NFL. You got to score. That's similar to the Broncos. If they had scored 18 points in every game this year, they'd be like not undefeated, but like 9-2 or something like that. Instead, they can't score. Russell Wilson is kind of a shell of himself. Mm-hmm. I don't have a prediction for the game. I just know whoever I play on defense is going to be the wrong one. So I've got the Panthers in there now. Let's bet on the Broncos. Sorry, did I take the whole minute myself?
You did, actually.
Sorry, and I had to take about my fantasy team.
No, that's fine.
It's late in the season, and I feel like this is true in a lot of fantasy leagues right now, Dennis Cox. Mm. There's a lot of parity in fantasy.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's going 10-1.
Nope.
It's a lot of 7-4s and 6-5s. So I'm, like, technically in first place, and I swear I'm going to, like, lose my final two games and not even make the playoffs. That's where we're at in fantasy. I know that wasn't a part of Minute Takes, but I just had to share that. What do we got next?
Oh, you're done?
Yeah. Did you want to chime in on Panthers Broncos?
No. Who not about? Anymore.
You don't even
not
want,
anymore.
You don't want to talk about Sam Darnold at quarterback?
I have no more takes.
All right,
gosh,
all right.
We're at that point of the season.
That's all right. It could be 2-minute takes if we need to. On the Friday after Thanksgiving, if we need an extra minute, you can talk about Panthers Broncos for an extra minute.
That also might be a loser leaves town match.
like the losers. Well, we already fired our coach. Who? In what other way?
Nathaniel Hackett?
Losers? Yeah. He might get fired
exactly.
too.
Exactly. All right, big one this afternoon. USA, England, baby.
Yep.
Let's go. Look, US has actually only beaten a European team twice in the World Cup.
Okay.
2002 against Portugal.
Okay.
1950 England.
I remember that Portugal one. That was sick.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. That was pretty fantastic. And then, 1950 against England, which means history is on our side. History's in our favor, Hayes Permar. We're taking down England.
I don't know what it is, and maybe I get too caught up in the moment, but I got a vibe about this game. For some reason, mm-hmm. I feel like the U.S. national team is now they're probably going to lose 4-0 or 4-1. But I just got vibes about this game for some reason. Don't count out the U.S. Obviously, even a draw here would be a great result. So, like, maybe I could just hedge my good vibe feeling and just say, let me predict a draw. Let's say 2-2, an exciting draw.
All right, 2-2.
I could see us like getting down 1-0, taking the lead 2-1, and then like giving up a stupid penalty late and having it tied 2-2.
See, I was hoping for the more dramatic in like the third minute of stoppage time, like 90+3, getting that game tying goal.
We get the game tire. That would be sick.
Awesome.
But I feel like a tie game would be great. But yes, I feel like. I feel like we get ahead 2-1, ends up being a tie 2-2. That's my prediction.
All right.
Next up, we got Canes Bruins. I predict that nobody scores in the first 20 seconds of this game because I'm watching it right now. yes, we are underway. Like I said, we've got to start seeing goals from people not named Svechnikov, Natchez, and Aho. Although there's part of me that says, I've been saying this year the only thing that matters is postseason results, right?
Yeah.
And maybe it's time to establish that, hey, we need three like heavy hitters in the postseason, and that matters more than balanced scoring, right? Mm-hmm. That's when the refs start giving you calls because it's like, well, you can't do that to one of their – you're just trying to mess with one of their best goal scorers, right? And we need those guys to be seen as dangerous. So I don't know. As much as I call for balanced scoring. I kind of like having three dudes who are just pouring it in at all times. I feel like come playoff time, that becomes actually an advantage, whereas regular season, as the Canes have been doing the past few years, it's more of a spread out the scoring game.
Well, I only have a second left.
Well, so, hey, get your takes in, man.
Okay, well,
faster takes.
And once again, well, yes, I need faster takes.
Is Boston any good this year? Oh, darn.
Yeah,
they're
17-3. Yeah, they're actually really, really good. My only thing is, I'm actually okay that the Canes are struggling now, because last year they started off hot and then they struggled as the season went along.
Yep.
I'd much rather have the inverse. Play hot come the end of the year.
Maybe Rod Brindamore intentionally sandbagging. He's like, we've done the thing where we play great, you know, before the turn of the year. Mm-hmm. Now let's do the thing where we give ourselves room to grow so it feels like we're growing up to it. All right, and finally, a minute take on UNC NC State. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's definitely an anything could happen. The stakes are low. It is just bragging rights stakes. The one thing that I'm going to go to the most obvious thing to take. Drake May versus Ben Finley. Big advantage UNC. Let's take the heels in this one. Cox?
My gut tells me on this one. Dewey, hold on.
No.
Dewey?
No.
No, they waved it off? Come on.
We do not. We have a puck in a net, but we do not have an actual goal. Okay. It seems like play was called off.
My take on this one, NC State versus UNC, this is Dave Doran's last game at NC State.
What?
Yeah. I think that he is going to move on somewhere else. I think he's going to move
hot
on
take.
Somewhere else after this one.
Extremely hot take.
I think he's going somewhere else, and he won't coach in the bowl game because he's going to get hired somewhere. So my prediction is this is his last
game. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe they stopped this. Goal disallowed by the Canes. It's a bad call. I don't really know the rules, but I just know it was a bad call. The puck was floating there. It was not held by the goalie. And they blew it dead. And Jesper Foss came and poked it in. It's going to be that type of night. We will ask our good friend Luke DeCock to step away from the Canes game for a little bit to join us to talk a little bit of Canes, a little bit of football, a little bit of hoops. We'll do it all with News and Observer columnist Luke DeCock next.
Adam Gold here with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Are most of your clients hands-on, or they just give you their money and let it work for them?
About 90% give the money, and then we meet every year and go through status reports,
sure.
Have a financial pit stop, making sure everything's fine. It is like a puzzle, Adam, but for the next 10 of you, we'll solve your own retirement puzzle at no cost or obligation.
Call and claim your comprehensive review with Coach Pete and the team, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
Can't complain. And it's too early anymore. It's post-Thanksgiving. It's officially Christmas season. Throw them trees up. Throw them decorations up. And turn the music on. We'll ask Luke DeCock where he stands on starting his Christmas season. And we'll ask him how he's handling the sports viewing day. As a columnist for the News and Observer, he's a multiple-time winner for North Carolina Sports Writer of the Year. Probably some AP awards that would be too numerous to list. But yeah, let's start right there. How we've got locally UNC NC State, that could be your main column. We've got the National Hockey League with the local team playing today and kind of slumping the Canes in Boston. That game's playing right now. And then we've got the international story, the U.S. at the World Cup going off at 2 o'clock. How is columnist Luke DeCock handling today's viewing day?
I've got to commit myself to one thing, and it's the Black Friday UNC NC State football game, which isn't quite the stakes maybe that – I mean, I said in August that this game would be a preview of the ACC championship game. I really honestly thought both teams would win their divisions. But I got to stick with that. I'm going to head over to Chapel Hill, be physically present for that one and write about that. I honestly think the more important question is the too early for Christmas, and I think you and I are on the same page here. Anything before Thanksgiving to me is a infamnia. After that, you're good to go.
All right. So, do you throw up the tree this weekend too? After the sports are done?
No, the tree can wait a little bit, probably a little later on the tree side. But I'm not gonna cast any side eye at
sure.
You know, someone who's hauling the tree around. Whereas I saw somebody like 10 days ago with the tree on the roof. I was like, are you gonna get two trees? Like, is this the first of two trees? Because I can't keep a tree alive that long.
Yeah, no, very true there. All right, another important question. Have you ever spatchcocked a turkey?
Have not, but I will say this. I respect it. And we are a turkey breast only family.
Okay.
So I don't know if that counts as sort of modified spatchcocking. I mean, we are taking a specific part of the bird and flattening that out, but no, never done a turducken, never spatchcocked a turkey.
See, I think the spatchcockers are coming on strong now because they're trying, it's like the smoking meat people who are trying to separate their elite culinary skills above my, like I learned how to fry a turkey and now they're trying to run away and make something, you know, better and more complicated that I can't do. That's what I don't like about it. I felt like this
was
the year of the spatchcock. All right. You may not be watching all the games, but that doesn't mean we're not going to ask you about all the games as the Carolina Hurricanes break the power play drought in real time. The Canes are on the board. I don't even know who scored the goal, Luke DeCock. But my question for you is there any concern for you at the Canes right now? Or is it anything right now looking too much at the trees instead of the forest of the whole season and more importantly, the postseason?
There isn't for me. I understand why people find this team hard to watch right now. I understand why people would be concerned, but I do think, as I wrote the other day, you know, after a really dismal loss to the Coyotes, this is a 100-game season for this team, 100 games plus. It's very difficult to bring your best for all 100 games. And you know who loses on a Monday night in Winnipeg? Good teams. I mean, that's how the Hurricanes for years got most of their wins, was catching good teams on bad nights and catching bad teams. You know, they weren't equipped for a long time to say to go toe-to-toe with the Bruins when the Bruins were at their best, which they are now. So some of this, you know, it is inevitable, a little bit of pacing. Obviously, nobody will admit to that. It's not even conscious, probably. But it's a very long season. It's only November. Good teams find a way to manage their workload. And look, nobody wants to lose 4-0 to the Coyotes. I mean, that's ridiculous. But the way they played in the first period, they should have had 2 or 3 goals, and then it's a completely different story. So as long as the style of play remains consistent, which they got away from their game the other night in the second and third periods after, you know, out of frustration, because there is a lot of frustration right now. I mean, this is a team that scored 18 goals in 9 games. 7 of those came in one game. Another 3 came in the final 5 minutes of a game with the goalie on the bench. So it's not a team that's particularly efficient offensively right now. But they do continue to pile up chances, and they do continue to create chances. And their shooting percentage right now is almost impossibly low. I mean, this is not a team that has the talent to be the worst shooting team in the league. So some of that's going to regress to the mean eventually. I'm not worried. I get why people are. I think whenever Teuvo Teravainen comes back, the power play will get better. Obviously, they've got one. The drought is over. And these things are not fun to watch. I mean, I would not have been happy to be at the game Wednesday night and see that second and third period. But the first period, they did everything but score. So, no, I'm not concerned. I think this team's going to be fine. You know, if there's areas of concern, it is the power play. It's the goaltending's been a little erratic at times. I was ready to cut Brent Burns a lot of slack in October because it's much harder to adjust to a new team and a new system than fans and media and even people in the game think about sometimes. But I do think he's got to get his game stepped up a little bit here. He's better than what he's shown lately. Points aside, I mean, the turnover against the Coyotes was grade school stuff. So he's better than that. He can get there. But those are the little things that concern me. I don't have any big concerns.
I like the phrase you used. There's probably some pacing, even if they're not conscious of it. Because, like, yeah, nobody's ever going to say, well, we're not going to go as hard as we might, you know, for certain games. But, like, yeah, no, I think that describes it well. I also appreciate you not calling me out and why I could probably never be a play-by-play man, not that quick on my feet. Yes, I went with they've broken the drought there. That's the phrase I used to describe it as they scored a goal. So I appreciate you not calling me out for that. You are on your way for UNC NC State. NC State had the disappointing season based on the preseason expectations. UNC will have the returning quarterback with a lot of hype. Is it UNC's turn next year to be the preseason top 10 team that then falls short of expectations?
I mean, it seems like it's a rotating operation around here. It's crazy. I mean, basically, UNC is having the season NC State thought they would have this year, and NC State last year had the season UNC thought they would have last year. I think what it says is, and this is true for everybody, not just North Carolina and NC State, It's true a little bit for the Hurricanes in 2019 and 2020 and 2021. You never really know when it's your moment until it's too late. Yep. You can't say, hey, next year's our time, or, you know, the next 2 years are our window. Because, you know, realistically last year, even with the losses at the skill positions, North Carolina said, look, we've got Sam Howell. Our defense has to be better. It wasn't. Our offensive line has to be better. It wasn't. You have to take advantage of opportunities when they present themselves. And that's why the Georgia Tech loss, I think, was such a killer for North Carolina. Yeah. Because the chances of the Tar Heels getting into the CFP were slim. But they existed. Yeah. They were extant. And to lose to a team that fired its coach a month into the season is just a dismal way to go about it. And look, you know, we don't know that the Tar Heels are going to be this good next year. I really believe that as good as Drake May has been, and this takes nothing away from him, there's an argument to be made that Josh Downs is the best player in the ACC, and he's going to be gone next year. And who knows, you can't separate Drake May's performance from Josh Downs' performance. They've both been outstanding. But it is going to be more difficult for Drake May next year without the safety net that is the best receiver in the league. And I'll put Josh Downs ahead of Zay Flowers. Roddy Jones and I got in a disagreement about this. I will put Josh Downs number one, as much as I respect and appreciate Zay Flowers. To me, Josh Downs is arguably the best player in the ACC. So Drake May is going to win all the awards. That's fine. He deserves them. Take nothing away from him. It's just very difficult to separate how good Josh Downs is from how good Drake May is because their success is so interlinked.
There's been some discussion about Dave Doran, possible candidate for other jobs. I think anybody who's saying fire Dave Doran is being a little bit of a loony fan. But there is just a question of, you know, is it has it been a good run and both sides should look for something different? I'll just ask you, how do you evaluate the decade of Dave Doran football at NC State?
Yeah, I mean, I think the people who think they're going to go out and fire Dave Doran and find a better coach are not living on this earth. But that said, I do think, and this has come up a couple of times in other conversations, and Andrew Carter and I did more or less a whole podcast about it. I do think we're in a modified Herb situation with Dave Doran, where you've had some success, you've rebuilt the program from a dark time. Not as dark for Dave as it was for Herb when he took over, but still, you've never been able to get quite over the top. And last year and this year certainly are kind of like Doran's versions of Herb's ACC tournaments. And you've got an unquestionably good coach who's been around for a while, and maybe it's just time for a change on both sides. So I think firing Dave Doran would be ludicrous, but I do think if Dave Doran has the opportunity to go elsewhere, whether that's Nebraska or Iowa State or somewhere like that, that might throw money at him. I think there's a chance that, you know, he will take it and NC State won't fight it. Not that anybody's unhappy, not that anybody's disappointed, but sometimes, you know, a change of scenery is going to be good. And you have to factor in that NC State's not likely, can't talk about these things in absolutes, but it's not likely to be very good next year when you look at the absolute truckload of talent that's going to walk out the door after the season. 30-something seniors, guys who were just generational leaders like Grant Gibson and Zay Moore and Peyton Wilson, Drake Thomas. I mean, these are guys who were among the best character-wise at their positions in NC State history. That's not easy to replace. So, yes, if there is a time for an amicable parting of the ways, this is it. That said, if Dave Doran stays at NC State, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. This is a guy who's proven he can win 8 or 9 games. There's going to be a little bit of rebuilding, but there's no reason why with the program that he's built, he can't win an ACC title at some point. You don't look at that and say, well, they're never going to win one. They've had chances. They'll have chances again. So, you know, this isn't a situation where there's an absolute need for it, but it does start to feel a little bit like that Herb dynamic where there's a little restlessness. And look, I don't know that I would have made that argument before the Boston College game, but that Boston College game really soured a lot of people. And I think it sort of opened that for debate.
It probably also, you know, that same vibe can, it's something that can be, the last two games matter for Dave Doran. I think like you beat UNC and you beat a respected team in a bowl game, and all of a sudden you're like, well, we didn't seize our opportunity, but this was not a terrible season, right? But if you go out and lose this game and lose a bowl game against, you know, an opponent that doesn't even look that great, then the taste in your mouth is, like I said, shifts a little bit, like it did after the Boston College loss. Finally, we hit you with hockey. We hit you with college football. We've got all kinds of college basketball. Three Triangle teams played yesterday. They play again today. There seems to be a trend repeating from last year where, whether it's reliant on incoming players, for either freshmen or transfer players, seem to set up a scenario where the ACC takes a little time to settle into who they are. Last year, it turns out, they were playing pretty good ball at the end of the year. This year, the records are still fine for UNC and Duke, and even NC State, you put them in there, but not the performances that they hope to be seeing, at least later in the season. Is this a actual problem, or is this just something that we happen to have seen 2 years in a row where they need to figure out a way to not get stuck in a certain place in the polls and the metrics, that then you go into conference season just playing other teams with not great poll numbers and not great metrics, and then coming out of it with bad NCAA tournament seeds? Is this something the league needs to look at, or is this just a thing that's happened recently?
See, I don't even see it as happening again. I mean, people look at some of the games that teams like Florida State and Louisville and Boston College have lost. They're like, oh, God, it's happening all over again. But the teams that were losing those games last year were like, you know, Virginia, Notre Dame, you know, Miami. Now, this year, Florida State's been unexpectedly bad for reasons that are relatively apparent. You know, the Boston College hasn't been as good as people expected them to be. Which was still not great, but there was some hope that that program could turn a corner. Louisville is on pace to be the worst team in ACC history, worse than the Dennis Clifford going out to eat team that didn't win an ACC game. But the bad losses are, by and large, concentrated in the bottom three or four teams in the conference, and that's fine. That's not what happened last year. If Duke and Carolina continue to win ugly, whatever, they're going to be fine. Virginia Tech's only loss is to Charleston, which gave UNC everything it could handle. That's fine. NC State lost to Kansas. That's fine. Like, these things are losses that are not going to hurt you in March. What hurts you would be NC State losing to Campbell. It would be Virginia Tech losing to James Madison. You know, those were the kind of losses that were happening last year. There's a lot of ACC teams that have not looked impressive, but they've piled up W's, whether it's Notre Dame or Miami or whoever. The losses have been to power conference teams. They've been to good mid-majors. They haven't been those terrible wash-out-your-eyes losses, even if the wins haven't been pretty. In the end, the net's going to worry about the games you won and lost. Those are going to be what kill you in the quadrants. And what killed the ACC last year was a lot of bad losses. Now, here's the nightmare scenario. Florida State opens the season 2-8, whatever, gets Boba Miller back from this ridiculous NCAA suspension, gets some players back from injury, gets hot, goes 14-6 in the ACC,
yes,
and single-handedly,
yes,
kills two bids.
That's definitely going to happen. That is absolutely going to happen. Because, like, Leonard Hamilton does not stink as a coach, and he usually has been playing pretty good, especially against, like, top ACC teams. He's going to, like, go 2-3 against Duke State and UVA and then, like, beat bad teams, and they're going to be a good ACC team, and people are going to be like, oh, the ACC's terrible. The scenario you described was the exact one I was seeing in my head when I asked this question.
Well,
I'm so mad.
Jim Phillips is going to have to pull Leonard aside at some point and tell him to tank for the good of the league, because the reality is the ACC has 6 or 7 good NCAA tournament-worthy teams, and another 2 or 3 that can play their way into that conversation. Look, Virginia's really good this year. Virginia Tech is good. Miami's good. Duke and Carolina are going to be fine. I think NC State's a tournament team. I think Notre Dame's a tournament team. So that's 7 right there, I think.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure I'm forgetting someone. And there's no reason why Clemson can't play its way into that conversation. So as long as you don't lose to Pitt and Louisville and BC and Florida State, as the rest of the league just beats up on each other and doesn't lose any bad non-conference games, the ACC is going to be fine. That's not what happened last year. Last year, everybody was losing bad games at this time of year, and it killed everyone. Now it's really just Florida State lurking out there as the kryptonite.
I got like 15 seconds. You give the USA a chance at all? Any chance?
Absolutely.
Woo!
50 all over again.
That's all I wanted to hear. Lou Dukak, enjoy NC State, UNC. I have no idea what to expect. Give me the team with the better quarterback. I'll take the heels. We'll read what you write about it after the game. Appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend, my man.
You too, Hayes.
We are 90-ish minutes into the show. We got just under 90 minutes to go. It's halftime. Let me update you on the score. The Carolina Hurricanes still up 1-0 over the Boston Bruins. Who had the goal for us there, Dennis Cox?
Stefan Nason on the power play from Aho and Svech.
Look at that. You know if the points are involved, Aho and Svech are also going to be involved. Even if we got no-name guys scoring.
By the way, it was Brent Burns who kept the puck in at the blue line, like full extension, keeping the puck in.
And it barely stayed in. That was well done. Okay, so this worked out perfectly. Aho and Svech still adding to their monster point totals, so that they go into the postseason scene as like guys that the refs have to watch out for and guys that'll be feared. Mm-hmm. But also, we get the goal from somebody new, and that's what we need, some more scoring for the other people. So, all around, good start for the Canes. And it was on the power play.
It was, and they're about to go back on the power play.
Boom.
Let's go. Don't worry. If you hear the goal sounder, it means they've scored here in the next few minutes.
All right, what else is happening in halftime?
All right, your man, Billy D. Williams. Lando Calrissian himself is coming to Raleigh in July for GalaxyCon. Hayes Permar, now you have to go.
He's a gambler, card player, scoundrel. You would like him. Mm-hmm. How much is it going to cost me to get a one-on-one private moment with Billy D. Williams?
I don't know, but I'll find out for you.
Like
for him?
Like, you don't have to tell me what you have paid, but like, are these things that are like 200 or 500 or
no,
like 2,000 or 5,000?
If you want to get like a photo with him,
it's going to be $1,000.
No. I'll probably be like $50.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing that.
Well, then like your ticket to get in as well, depending on what day that is there.
So I mean, it's going
to
add up.
But spend $100.
But it's going to be, but for a couple $100, I can get a picture with Lando.
Less than that.
Well, all right. What I have to pay for him to like go to dinner with me? Can we go to Clouds Brewing and pretend
Cloud
it's Cloud City?
Yes.
I've ever told you this, Dennis Cox.
Yes, I do.
This is also a great American, especially if you're an American, you know, my age or younger probably, or a little bit older than me. If you're 50 or younger, my Twitter avatar, this is why you specifically bring this up to me, is Lando Calrissian. He's my all-time favorite Star Wars character. One time I was the land director at a summer camp.
Okay.
And so I went by the nickname Lando because I did land, and so I wore a Lando t-shirt and, you know, all this stuff. So I'm a big Lando fan, right? But my avatar on Twitter is Lando Calrissian. And one way I've been able to, almost without fail, distinguish between a person that I don't know if they are a black person or a white person, it depends on how they've referenced my avatar.
Okay.
White people say, "Oh, it's Lando Calrissian." And black people say, "Oh, that's Billy D. Williams." That has been true almost exclusively throughout. Like, black people will be like, "I love your avatar, Billy D. Williams." And white people will be like, "I love your avatar, it's Lando Calrissian." So that is a two Americas moment, as Bomani Jones, my good friend, would say. Yeah, I guess I got to go in and pay for to see Lando. When does this happen?
It's July. I think it's last weekend in July, so I think you're looking at the 27th, somewhere around that time.
He was also, that's usually when I'm at the beach. That's no good. He was also the mayor of Gotham, right? In the Batman with Michael Keaton?
He may have been, actually.
I believe he was.
Yeah.
Or he wasn't Commissioner Gordon.
No,
I think he was the mayor, though. I think he was the mayor.
So July 27th, which is a Thursday, through July 30th, which is a Sunday, is GalaxyCon.
All right.
You have to find a day.
Do you know anybody else? Anybody else that's
on the power play, baby.
Who's got power play problems?
Who has power play problems? Not us.
Not this team.
Nope.
Not this team. No power play problems here. The $6 million man. Kotkaniemi, I believe it is, right?
Kotkaniemi?
Jesperi Kotkaniemi?
Yeah.
Our man KK snuck it in there. Yes, that's another goal. Carolina Hurricanes up 2-0. Is this a sign?
Power play goals, baby. Let's go.
Rivalry day is going to go well for us. Can the USA follow on the heels of this great start for the Carolina Hurricanes? Another power play goal. Who has power play problems? Not us. Couldn't be us.
Along with Billy D. Williams, who's actually going to be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We've already been announced. Jaleel White, that's right. Steve Urkel himself is also going to be there.
I was listening to a podcast with Bomani Jones and Dominique Foxworth.
Okay.
And they were talking about how the origins, the roots of Family Matters
Love that
was
show.
A show based off of the Mama Winslow. Mm-hmm. She was the elevator operator in the newspaper that the guy worked at in Perfect Strangers, right?
Okay.
So it was a spinoff of Perfect Strangers.
I didn't realize
and
that.
She, yeah, so they were a blue-collar Chicago family, mm-hmm. and that it was going to be about them. And I don't remember what episode it was that the nerd from next door, Steve Urkel, showed up. Mm-hmm. But as soon as he did, and whatever it was, the ratings or the feedback or whatever it was like, we want more of that guy. All of a sudden, everybody else became second tier. Like, Carl Winslow thought he was going to be like, you know, like Dr. Huxtable from Cosby. He thought he was going to be holding down. Mama Winslow thought she was going to be a main character. Everybody became minor characters to Steve Urkel after he hit the scene. It was hilarious to hear Bomani and Dominique talk about that. All right, so we got Urkel there, Billy Dee Williams.
William Shatner.
I feel like
he's
always there.
Yeah, he is. Will Friedle from Boy Meets World.
Oh, yeah.
Corey Matthews' older brother.
Yes, Eric.
Yeah. Eric Matthews is going to be there.
Well, now I'm definitely going to get – if we've got Lando and Eric,
yeah,
I'm definitely in. All right, well done. Next up on Halftime Entertainment.
Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special is out right now on Disney Plus.
Everybody's trying
it's
to get 45 paid.
45 minutes of fantasticness.
Have you watched it? Is it
of
good?
Course I did. I
is it like legit good or is it like
it's legit fun?
Cheesy, like Christmassy good.
It's both.
The
yes.
crazy thing is
it is all in leaning on Christmas.
Star Wars had that Christmas special back in the day.
The first appearance of Boba Fett.
That was so bad they like buried it.
Yeah.
But then it became like cult classic and then everybody wanted to see it. And now, like, can you even stream it now?
I don't know. Idea.
I can't remember. And didn't Star Wars also try and do another Christmas? Everybody makes a Christmas special now. Everybody's just trying to get that money, get that coin.
What's it? It was straight to Disney Plus.
Did they have everybody? Were all of the Guardians of the Galaxy there?
They were.
Well, like half of them are like animated, so you don't even need them to show. I guess you need the voices of the raccoon.
Yeah.
The Groot. What? Hey, other people are actors. The big guy that's like a real person.
Drax. Yeah.
Nah, that's
Batista.
That's a cartoon.
The former wrestler.
That's a cartoon. It's the one white guy. Everybody else is a cartoon.
Okay, that's fair.
They're all cartoons. I'm not watching that. Sorry.
Okay.
Maybe
well,
I did watch Spirited with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell.
I haven't
Ferrell.
Watched that yet. Was that fun?
It's decent, but it's a musical.
Okay.
And like, I would have rather them done, same thing. Everybody's just trying to get paid. They're like, well, if we do a movie and a musical, then maybe one of our songs will catch on. It'll be a music hit for years, and we can get royalties off that, right? But it's
yeah.
like, no, you have Will Ferrell, and you got Ryan Reynolds. Maybe you put one comedic song in there just for fun in the mm-hmm. middle of the movie, like Will Ferrell's done in other movies, you know? But don't try and make it a whole musical. It did not hold up as a musical. I was excited and let down. Maybe Guardians of the Galaxy would be the opposite, where I would be not excited, and it would surprise me. So that is the Halftime Entertainment. On the other side, I placed one big Turkey Day parlay yesterday. I'll tell you how it did, and I got another one for you to play today. It's next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Adam Gold Show. They're trying to cheat us up in Boston. We're getting too good on the power play. Now they're trying to take power plays away from us. I think we're going to have some 4-on-4. Also, we got a great third hour of the show planned from 2 to 3. But just as a note, I'm going to be watching two games at the same time I'm doing radio. So just deal with it, okay?
It's going to happen.
It's holiday radio. You're not on your normal commute either. You're not participating. You're not calling in at the normal rate. You're not tweeting at the show. You're not participating in the same way you would. So you don't expect a 100% performance from me, okay? I'm doing the best that I can, bringing some good Christmas tunes, but I'm watching the Canes, and I'm watching Team USA. I hope those are just warm-up shirts, these splotchy, I don't know what they are. Are those our actual shirts? Are those our jerseys?
I don't know. I have a Canes. I have one less TV than you do, Hayes.
Oh, wow. That's your loss there.
Yeah.
Canes look like they're going to take, well, let's not be premature. Canes look like they're going to take a 2-0 lead into the first intermission. Team USA preparing to start against England. That game about 12 minutes away. Yesterday, I went for the hard strings, okay? I don't like to place my bets too much around here because I don't like to use other people's fake money. And some days I'm not here the following day to, like, come clean on my bets, right? But since I was in here Wednesday and I was going to be back on Friday, I said, I'm going to place some Thanksgiving Day bets. And I gave people one parlay. I said, here's what you got to do, people. It's Thanksgiving and the Lions are playing and you have to take them. So we had the Lions plus 9.5. And guess what? They got the job done. Even when I thought it was going to overtime, I was like, you know what? Unless you try really, 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 really hard to stink it up, you can't lose by 9.5 in overtime. So I was feeling good about that one. They ended up losing by 3. Lions covered. Then, and here's, you have to trust me on this one. When I checked the line on Wednesday for Dallas, New York, it was 7.5. Okay. Apparently, by the time it kicked, it was like 10 points.
Okay.
But when I took it, when I put it as part of my parlay, I took the Cowboys minus 7.5. They won by 8. They covered. So I was 2 legs in. Now all I needed was for Bill Belichick to beat Kirk Cousins in game 3. And in fact, the Vikings were getting 3.5 points. And of course, that didn't turn out. If I could have gotten back on the air, I would have hedged the bet and taken the Vikings for a small amount and at least, you know, made sure I won something. But it said that that didn't happen. I did also want to point out, I've shared this before, but I feel like with the World Cup going on, it's a good time to point out this bet. I mentioned the overtime game between Detroit and Buffalo, and how it wouldn't have been affected. It wouldn't have affected the line because the spread was so big. It was a 9.5-point game. One thing that soccer absolutely gets right: betting is done on regulation.
Mm-hmm.
How frustrated would you be, let's say, if you're the New England Patriots and you're getting 3.5 points yesterday, and the game goes into overtime? Well, you've bet that the underdog is going to keep the game close, right? That's what you've done when you're taking a point spread in almost any NFL game. Very rarely do you get over touchdown favorites. I guess it happens more often, you know, when a very good team plays a very bad team, whatever. But usually you're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-point spreads in the NFL. So if you take the underdog and the points, and it's tied at the end of regulation, it feels like you should win the bet. Instead, you go to overtime, you can end up losing by 6 points, a touchdown or whatever, and you are the underdog by 4 points, you don't win your bet. In soccer, not how it works. Now, obviously that makes sense because right now in these knockout round games, mm-hmm. I mean in the group stage, they don't play overtime. So like you've got to if you bet the US today and they're getting a goal and they tie England, will you win your bet? Because the U.S. was the underdog, they were getting half a goal or a goal or whatever it might be. But that's not the case in football. I think all NBA, NHL, NFL, college football, all of it should be bet on the end of regulation. Whatever you want to do, even the over-under, I feel like, should be. Because a college football game, you can have a really low-scoring game, and all of a sudden they play 4 overtimes, and they put another 20 points up at the board. Well, you bet it on being an under, and it was. All right, today I'm giving you another holiday parlay, okay? I'm not going deep in. I'm not...
Place your bets.
I'm not...
I bet you slice into the water.
Not taking any futures, not taking any props. We're going straight up with the heart. Yesterday we bet on the Thanksgiving teams, the Lions and the Cowboys. And in fact, I should have left the night game out of it. I should have just gone with a parlay on the Thanksgiving teams. We would have gotten it. Today, we're going with the ACC teams in the triangle, baby.
All right.
All 3 are favored. Now, this is not necessarily...
For basketball, yeah.
In hoops, yes. Three games in the holiday tournament. Two of them going out at the Phil Knight Classic. Duke favored by 3.5 against Xavier. I like the Blue Devils. They're gonna coast on that one. The one I'm actually most worried about, NC State minus 4.5 against Iowa State, who's undefeated. I don't know if they've beaten. I haven't checked their KenPom score, but I do know that UNC has not looked very good this season. I'm not worried about UNC making the NCAA tournament. I'm not worried about them being pretty good when the NCAA tournament starts. I am very worried about UNC covering a 4.5-point spread against Iowa State. Seems like the type of game they'll let a team hang around or even be trailing by 6 with like 3 minutes to go, maybe squeak out the win and win by 2 and then ruin my holiday parlay.
Okay.
Yeah. And then finally, NC State, a 2.5-point favorite against Butler. And much like yesterday, NC State probably has the most to gain. They come out of the Bahamas with a hard-fought, ultimately pretty close loss to Kansas and a win over Dayton and Butler. And again, I can't tell you at the end of the season how good Dayton and Butler are going to be, but I can tell you traditionally, Dayton and Butler are two of the better mid-major programs and two teams that are often competing for NCAA tournament spots. So if NC State were able to get a win today, this would be a wildly successful holiday tournament, whereas UNC and Duke, lackluster starts in their first games against Portland and Oregon State. Portland and Oregon State only get invited to this thing because they're right there. It's like bring in all these big schools. Yeah. And then here's Portland, Oregon State. There was another local school. I can't remember who it was. But like they're supposed to be just fodder for these like first games. And instead, Portland and Oregon State both gave Duke a pretty good challenge. So there's your day two, your Friday, Black Friday holiday parlay. Duke minus 3.5 over Xavier. UNC minus 4.5 over Iowa State. NC State minus 2.5 over Butler. We're playing with the heart. We're not going to touch USA, UK.
Oh, give me USA plus 650. No. Give me USA plus 650 to win.
On the money line.
On the money line. Also, give me NC State over UNC on the money line plus 205 this afternoon.
All right.
And Florida State minus 10, Clemson minus 14.5. Parlay that together plus 265.
I didn't even know you had bets.
Yeah.
We got some sound for you next.
Your heart, it's the only one you have. Fortunately, you also have a choice. Expert cardiologists, talented surgeons, highly skilled specialists, all of whom chose WakeMed. Why? The main reason is the same reason patients choose WakeMed. Everything you need for the best possible care is right here. Learn more at WakeMed.org. WakeMed Heart and Vascular Physicians, your heart, your choice.